We begin the current daf of Ksubas daf Kov Ches. We begin on the bottom daf Kov Zayin Mabez, four lines up from the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with the second Mishnah in this parak. Now, continuing on the theme of the first Mishnah in this parak, which said that there are two halachas that Chanan said and seven in Admud said, which the Chacham argue on them. In the first Mishnah, we spoke about Chanan's first halacha. Now the Gemara continues with the second Mishnah, which talks about Chanan's second halacha, similar to his first halacha regarding Misha Halach Lamanina Sayyam. If a man goes overseas, now the omer echad of pirnas es ishta. Now, the first halacha of the first Mishnah spoke about regarding her rights to receive mezainis. We had a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel to define if that's every woman, depending on the circumstances, if there's concern about really she has money for her sustenance. And then she goes to the courts, and the courts say, okay, you're going to get sustenance. The question is if we make you take an oath now or later. This Mishnah is talking about where she doesn't go through that whole procedure. Somebody else, an activist, gets up, stands up, and provides the sustenance for his wife. He sees that she's struggling. The husband's overseas. He says, look, I'll take care of her. Now, but he's expecting when the husband comes back that he'll compensate him for what he provided for his wife. Now, in that we have the machlekes. Chanan Omer, he says, Ibed es ma'isav. This person that stood up and fed this man's wife basically lost his money. The reason being is because that husband that went overseas never told him, look, lend me money to feed my wife and I'll pay you back. Therefore, since he never borrowed from him, he doesn't owe him, and therefore he lost the money that he gave to this man's wife. However, as Rashi says, if let's say the activist, the person that stood up, would have lent the woman money for her food, said, you need money, good, I'll lend you money on the condition that you pay me back. So what would have happened was is that when the husband would come back, he would go to the woman to claim the money that she borrowed from him, which is definitely rightful, a loan, and then she would go ahead and claim from her husband the money for sustenance that he has to feed her, even when he's overseas. And then he would pay her and she would pay him. As the Gemara on the top of this Amud spoke about, regarding if a woman was Mima Enes. But in the interim, when the husband was overseas, she had borrowed money and eaten, and then she got up and she did Mian. So then as the Gemara explained, because she did Mian, then the husband doesn't have to pay back the money that she borrowed. But if she hadn't done Mian, then everyone would agree that definitely he has the obligation of feeding her. So what she had borrowed, he has to then compensate her for the money that she had to feed herself, and then she would pay him back. But again, the case that we're talking about over here is that that's not what happened. He didn't lend her money. He went and gave it to, he was like, so to speak, lending it to the husband. And then what's the husband's obligation for the wife? So on that, Chanan says he's lost his money because he didn't ask him to borrow money. Whereas Nechel Kol Lav Bnei Kam Gedoyel Ma'amru, however, the sons of the Kam Gedoyel, they argue, they say, no, Yishava Kamahitza V'Yito. This parnas, the person that got up and fed this man's wife and took care of his obligation, he can swear how much money he spent on feeding this man's wife, and then he could collect from the husband whose obligation it was to feed his wife. Amr Abdesim Ben Harkonnes, Kedavra Amr Abdesim Ben Harkonnes says, like the opinion of the Bnei Kam Gedoyelim, again, that he could collect. However, Amr Yechman Zaka, he says, no, Yafa Amr Chanan. Chanan has said well in regards to saying that he has lost his money, because he niach ma'isav al keren tzvi, which is a metaphor saying that he put his money, the person who was feeding this man's wife, on the horn of a deer, which runs pretty fast. Basically, you lost your money because, again, you're lending him money. He didn't borrow money from you. And therefore, how can you have lent me money that I have to pay you back? Had he lent the wife, that would be different, as Rashi explained. Now, regarding the halacha of our Mishnah, the Gemara brings in the following Mishnah. Nan hasam, we learned in the Mishnah, Mesechnas Nadar. Hamudar hano mechaver. If someone is forbidden by the power of an oath to have pleasure from his friend. There's two people, and there's a neder between them saying that they can't have pleasure from each other. Now, as we continue on top of Kaf Chesem and Aleph, in spite of that, Shoykaloi, the individual could to give out because of the person that's forbidden to have pleasure from him. He's allowed to take a machzis ha-shekel and do es shikloi. In other words, the shekel that person is forbidden to have pleasure from him, every single person has to give a machzis ha-shekel, half a shekel, to the lishka, to hekdesh for the karban sibra that they bring, which comes from the funds of the public, he's still allowed to give and pay that person's machzis ha-shekel. Moreover, he can even pay up his debt. In other words, if let's say the person that's not allowed to have pleasure from him, so he can't be mahan him, he can't give him pleasure, still, if that person has a creditor, he's allowed to go to the creditor and pay up that person's debt. And he's allowed to return his lost object. Let's say he sees his donkey lost on the road. He's allowed to return it to him. Again, all these cases, although they seem like that you're being mahanim, you're giving him pleasure, as Yomar will explain, it's not a prohibition, it's not a violation of the nether. However, the Mishnah does say, however, if it's a location where people get paid for the effort that was put in to return the lost object, it takes time and money and effort, so then, tipul hana, that pleasure, meaning that money which would normally be paid to the one who's returning the object, that has to go to Hekdesh. That has to go to Hekdesh. The reason being is because, as Rashi explains, which Gemara elsewhere explains, we're talking about where both of them are forbidden to have pleasure from each other. So the person who returned the object can't take the money of getting paid because he's going to get pleasure from that person. But neither can the person who got it returned to him hold on to that money and not pay him, because that money that which is normally paid out, he's now getting pleasure from holding on to it. So therefore, it has to go to Hekdesh, to a third party, because neither one can either hold on to it or get it again, because they're mudah anav mechaver. But the actual returning of the object is not a violation. Now the Gemara explains this Mishnah. Bishlam is shoykel lo yashikli. We understand the first halacha where he can give the other person's machzah shekel for him, because mitzvah kavet, as Rashi explains, he's just doing a general mitzvah. In other words, he's not really giving pleasure, creating a benefit for that person. The reason being is because even if that person doesn't end up giving his half a shekel, he hasn't really lost anything, because he still has a part in all the karbanos, sacrifice of the tzibur, even if he doesn't end up giving his machzah shekel. It's not like we learned, which actually some of the gears of the Tanya, because it's a braisa. Termin, the halacha is that the kahanim do the separation, the trumas halishka, which they go to the chamber which has all the money of the machzah shekel, they take it out into three different boxes. So that trumas halishka is al ha'ovid. It's even if, let's say, somebody sent his shekel to Yerushalayim, but it got lost on the way, so never ended up making it there, still the trumas halishka will work in that person's favor. Vala gavli, it also works regarding somebody that had been collected, but it never reached to the lishka yet. It's on its way, it's en route. And valasad ligvois, and even that which wasn't even collected yet, but which ultimately is going to be collected, still that person already has a part in that truma, and hence in the karbanas. It's just that the person has lost out in the mitzvah and being part of the actual giving the money to fund the karbanas. But to have a share in that karbanas tzibur, which every person has to have, he has that share. So it comes out that really the only thing is that the other person is doing for the other one by giving his machzah shekel is that he's getting the mitzvah. So actually he's getting the hanot. He's not even giving hanot to the other person. And the whole hanot would be that if he got his rights, his lot, his part in the karbanas tzibur, that as the Gemara illustrates in the Brice, you get that even without even end up giving the machzah shekel. So therefore it's not being mahanem. He's actually just getting the mitzvah, what that person should really be getting. The Gemara says, we understand that halacha in the Mishnah regarding returning someone's lost object, that mitzvah kavet, that he could say, I'm not really giving him pleasure, I just want to do my mitzvah. He's my esrog, he's my lulav, I just want to get my mitzvah, some returning the lost object of to do hashavas aveda. So it's not that he's doing it to be mahanahim, so it's not a violation of the nether. But what the Gemara asks, but regarding the halacha, the Mishnah, it says that he could pay up his debt, hokum ishtar shilei. What do you mean? He's giving him a gain, because now he has a debt that he doesn't have to pay up. How is that not a violation of being a mudr hanam mechaveroi, of not giving him pleasure? So Amar Vayishir, Vayishir says, and that's how it comes in relation to our Mishnah, Halmani, who's the Tana of the Mishnah Masechet Nedarim, Chanani, it's Chanan. Dama that he says in our Mishnah regarding a person that is mefarnes feeds his wife's friend, his friend's wife who went overseas. Now, as we explained in Mishnah, his intention was as a loan to the husband, that the husband, when he comes back, will pay him back. Now, on that, Chanan said, Ibir esma oisav, he's lost his money. What that means is that he cannot tell that husband when he comes back, I paid up your debt. Pay me because you had to feed your wife. You were negligent. I paid up your debt for you. He can't say that. Now, therefore, consequently, the same thing would be regarding any debt that a person has. If somebody gets up and pays up that person's debt, and this guy didn't say, lend me by paying up my debt, so he doesn't have to pay him anything. Now, so therefore, just like had he said that I was paying it up as a loan to you, that's not a loan, as per the halacha of our Mishnah, So the same thing is when he pays it up just to be Meichel. In other words, I'm not lending it to you, I just want to pay up your debt. That's not giving the person anything. And that's where, as Rashi explains elsewhere, what's called the halachic concept of mavriach asari. You're basically just chasing away a line. You're not giving him anything. You're just, now he doesn't have a debt. But you didn't give him anything. And therefore, although you paid up, let's say, in the halacha of our Mishnah, what do you mean? He doesn't have to pay his wife, which he would have had to, had she borrowed from elsewhere, which was a debt he had of Mizainas. Does it make a difference? Since you didn't give him anything, now you just avoid him having to pay out something, and he didn't ask you to do that. So therefore, what you did for him is not considered anything, and you lost the money. So to over here, by paying up someone's debt, you haven't really given him anything, and therefore it's not a violation of the halacha of Hamodan no Mechaver. Now, however, Rav Amahi says, Afila Teim Rabbanan. You could even say that the Tan of the Mishnah Maseches Nedarim is like the Rabbanan of our Mishnah, who say that actually when the person is Mefarnes Eishes Chaveiroi, the man, when he comes back, has to pay him back, even though he didn't tell him, lend me the money. And the same thing would apply to other debts. When someone pays up someone else's debt, he would have to pay back that person. Consequently, it would seem that if a person pays up someone's debt and he says, don't worry, I don't want you to pay me back, I wasn't lending you the money, I'm Meichelet. I just want to pay up your debt, that generally that would be forbidden by someone that is a prohibition of him having pleasure from him, because of course he's giving him a pleasure, he's giving him something, as we see in the Mishnah, that if he's giving him, he has to pay him back. But however, here in the Mishnah, where it's in the Mishnah Masechet Nedarim, that it says that he could be parei eschayv, he could pay back his debt, is that, b'mayaskin, what are we talking about? Shalava, this person who you're paying up his debt, when he had originally borrowed from the lender, it was amanah shaloi lefraya. It was on the condition that he doesn't have to pay back until he wants to. And therefore, the creditor can never press him for money because that was the conditions of the loan. Therefore, that's what Rav is explaining. Even the Rabban would agree, he's not giving him anything. What are you giving him? That he doesn't have to pay up the debt? He never had to pay up the debt. That was the conditions of the loan. And therefore, Rav says, you don't have to say that the Mishnah is just like Chanan. You could say it's even like the Rabbanan. And although generally that paying up a debt would be giving, but here it's talking about a case where he didn't have to, and therefore not giving him anything. So now the Gemara explains that Bishlema Rav lo amakra b'yishir, there were two interpretations of that Mishnah Maseches Nedarim, either like Chanan, or like the Rabbanan, as Rav just explained. So the Gemara says, we understand why Rav didn't want to say like Rav b'yishir, that's going like Chanan. The Mukam like Rabbanan, we always prefer to say like the Rabbim, like the Rabbanan. El Rav b'yishir, my time alo amakra Rav, why didn't Rav b'yishir say that it could even be going like Rabban, and not just like Chanan, not limit the interpretation. Like Rava said, where it's talking about a case where he had a loan on the condition he doesn't have to pay back, and therefore even the coin to Rabban, and you're not really giving him anything. So on that, Rav Eishe would tell you, you're right, even according to the way you just described the case, he's not giving him any real pleasure, because I didn't have to pay up anyway. What are you doing by paying up my debt? However, as we tell on Tamad Beis, but kisufa mi lesle? Isn't he embarrassed? In other words, whenever he sees the guy who lent him money, although he doesn't have to pay him back, but he's embarrassed. He knows he owes the person money. Therefore, Rav Eishe says that if we'd be going like Rabbanan, who they say regarding a debt, that if, let's say when it was a regular loan, when it's lent on the condition that he has to pay it back, and the Rabbanan say that if someone else pays it back for him, they say that he has to pay him back because he has given them something. So too, when someone's mudr ha'no, when there's a prohibition of getting pleasure from each other, and he's meichelet, then, as we said before, the Rabban would generally hold that it would be aser because you're giving him something. Consequently, Rav Ashi holds that even if it's like the case of Rava, where he lent the money on the condition that he doesn't have to pay him back, it's still pleasure. And therefore, when the person pays it back from him and he says, don't worry, you don't have to pay me back, that's going to be prohibited, again, because although he's not giving him actual money, because he doesn't have to pay it back, but there is some type of a noise giving him that now he's not embarrassed anymore. As we said by the Rabbanan, you don't have to give something, just that you don't have to owe something anymore. The fact that you don't have any more that embarrassment is something of Hana, which the Rabbanan would hold, that would be prohibited in that case. Therefore, it can't be going like the Rabbanan. Whereas Chanan, whether it's talking about a case of a loan that has to be paid back, or whether that it was that you didn't have to pay back, according to Chanan, he's not giving him anything. And therefore, you're not really, there's no mechil over here. Even though now he removed him from having to pay, and even though he removed him from being embarrassed, it doesn't make a difference because according to Chanan, you have to actually give something. And therefore, in this case, Rav Yishai says it makes sense to say like Chana, not like Rabbanan, because according to Rabbanan, there would still be a pleasure of not being embarrassed. Now, the end of this Gemara, the Bach and Marav Ransburg amend the text because the end of the Gemara sounds like it's redundant, where it says, Hasam Nami, when there also in the Mishnah Maseches Nedarim, which is talking about when the person's Mudra Ano, Nami Yisle Ano, there is also pleasure over there. Hence, you can't say it's like Rabbanan, because Bahi Ano, the Mishnah Mine, that amount of pleasure of now a person's not embarrassed anymore. According to Rabbanan, that would be a pleasure, and therefore that would be forbidden, even in the way Rabbi described the case of someone not having to pay back. So why the redundancy? So the Marav Ransburg brings that actually the Girsa of the Ran, the Maseches Nedar, when he quotes this Teretz, doesn't mention this line. So too he says, it seems like from Rashi's Girsa over here, that he didn't have this Girsa of this extra line. But he says that he saw in the Marshal, who has the Girsa, and he adds on the words Lishna Achrina, that's as if it's a second version of the same Teretz. But so what would be the difference between these two versions? He says, according to the first version, it's not really considered a complete pleasure. It says, although he's not getting out, no, but there's still kisufa. But according to the second version, it's sounding like that actually the embarrassment has monetary value. It's actually like a pleasure by not being embarrassed anymore, and therefore it's even an added element that the second version is saying, that for sure, according to Rabban, Rav Yishai holds, you can't say the Mishnah Maseches Nedarim is like them, because even though there's no actual pleasure of not having to pay up, the fact that he's not embarrassed anymore is a pleasure. Nothing more continues with the next Mishnah. Again, now that we finished with the two halachas of Chanan that he said that the Chamar in him, now we move on to Adman Oymer Shiva. Like we said in the first Mishnah in this parak, that Adman said seven halachas that the Chamar in him, our Mishnah begins with the first one. So the Mishnah says, Misha meis v'enech ban mabonis. If someone dies and he leaves over sons and daughters. So the Tanakhama says, it depends what the circumstances of the estate are at the time of the death, what we do. And that is bismach on the chasam Reuben when there's a large estate. So habanim yarshim, babanis nezainu. The biblical halacha is that only the sons inherit, not the daughters. So the sons inherit, and the daughters get fed sustenance from the estate. Barum in the chasam mu'atim, but when there's a small, meager estate left over, as the Gemara in Bava Basra explains, if there's not enough to provide sustenance for the boys and the girls for the next 12 months, that's called a meager estate. Therefore, habanis yizainis. So the daughters get fed from whatever money is left over, and the sons, actually, they have to go knocking on people's doors to collect money, which, as Rashi points out, is a rabbinic enactment for the daughters, because biblically, of course, the sons inherit. Now, Admin, I mean, he says, because I'm a male, so I lose out? As Gemara will explain, what is he referring to? And Amir Amgamliel says, right, and this Debbie Admin, Amgamliel says, I see the opinion of Admin that it makes sense because you're a male, definitely, you should get a better share in this state, definitely not lose out, that the daughters get fed and they have to go knocking on doors. So the Gemara asks, my comma, what was this that Admin said? In other words, the words that he says that, what do you mean, because I'm a male, I lose out, sounds like what he's trying to say is, to the contrary, because I'm male, and I usually have a stronger hold in this state, now I lose out. So the question is, what is the better positioning of the male that he's wondering and arguing on the Tanakama, that definitely that's not a reason that even the Chasam Atim for the son to lose out. So Amabai Abai says, Hachakama, what Adman was saying was, Bishvil Shani Zachar, because I'm a male, V'ro Lasik B'Torah, and I am fit to learn Torah, not the girls, rather me. So if Sadati, I lose out, I should definitely be the one to inherit the money and get supported when I'm learning and not the women who are not even learning. That only Rava asked Abai. Says, what do you mean? Man da asik batar hu diyaris. What do you mean? Not every man is learning. Only the man that learns inherits money. And man da asik batar lo yaris. And the man that's not learning doesn't inherit. Why would that be the reason of saying that because I'm a male that I should lose out? But that logic of learning Torah is not for every man. So Elam Rava, rather Rabbi says Hachakama. This is what Abin was saying. B'shvil shani zachar. What do you mean? Because I'm a male. V'ro leirish ben chasim Reuben, and I'm fit when it's a larger state to be the only inheritor, and she doesn't get anything, she gets fed. So if sadati ben chasim o'atim, now when it's a small state, I lose out. Now why should I lose out? If anything, I am the stronger one when it comes to inheriting the money. Therefore, Admin Argonin said that the male doesn't lose out because it's nechasim o'atim. Now the Gemara moves on with the next Mishnah, with the second halacha of Admin that the Chacham argued him. So the Mishnah tells us, if someone claims by his friend, that he owes him jugs of oil. Now, v'hoide b'kankanim, he only admits to saying, I don't owe you jugs of oil, I only owe you jugs that don't have oil in them. So we have a machlekes. Admon Eimer, he says, hoil v'hoide b'miktzas ataina, since the individual, the defendant, is admitting to part of the claim, then Yeshava, he has to swear, which is the biblical halacha, what's called Meidah B'Miktzas Yeshava. And if you admit to part of the claim, if someone says you owe me $100, says, no, I only owe you 50. So then he has to swear that the other 50 that he's denying, that he doesn't owe it to him, because that's called Meidah B'Miktzas. If he would deny the whole thing, so then he wouldn't be obligated. So he says that since he's asking him, you owe me jugs of oil, and he's admitting to part of that, which are the jugs, so that's Meidah B'Miktzas. But V'chacham Aim, they say, in hoy do'as miktzas, the admission of the part is not mimin hataina. It's not the same as the claim, which I won't really explain exactly what's the case about Mishnah. But if someone claims to a person, you owe me apples, and he says, I owe you oranges, I don't owe you apples, and it's not actually 100 apples, it's 50 oranges, it's something different. So that's not called Meidah B'Miktzas, that would be denying the claim and admitting to something totally different, and that would not be Chayav B'Shvuah. So the Chacham say the claim of this Kadei Shemen and admitting to the jugs is not the same thing as the claim. It's not considered Meidah B'Miktzas Ataina, and therefore he doesn't have to swear. However, Amram Gamliel, he says, I see the opinion of Admon that it is considered Meidah B'Miktzas. Now, the Gemara says, Shema Minol the Rabbanan. What we can infer from the opinion of the Rabbanan is seemingly that's the case of the Mishnah. If someone claims by somebody, look, you owe me wheat and you owe me barley, which parallel to the case of our Mishnah is the oil and the jugs, two different things. And the guy says, what are you talking about? I only owe you one of the two things you're asking for me, which in this case would be the jugs. Potter, it sounds like from the opinion of the Rabbanan, that's not considered Moed B'Miktzas Sataina. If you're asking for two things and he only admits to one, if in whatever you're asking he admits to part, that's Meidah B'Miktzas Ataina. But if it's only in one of the two items that he's admitting to, so that's not considered Meidah B'Miktzas Ataina. Now, on that, the Gemara says, Le'mitav Tiyuv to Rav Nachman Mishmul. If that's the case, that it's seemingly like Chitin B'Sa'irin admitting only to Sa'irin, that you're exempt, so that should be a refutation of Rav Nachman, who said the name of Mishmul. Because the Amr of Nachman Omer Shmuel, he said, Tanu Chitin B'Sa'irin, if someone claims to somebody that you owe me wheat and barley, and he only admits to one of them that he's chayiv, that you are chayiv, because the claim was two things. He admitted to one of them. That's half of the claim. So that seems to be refuted from the opinion of the Rabbanan. So Amar Rav Yehuda Rav, he says, no, actually, the case of our Mishnah is Totma, b'toya noy mida. The claimant is claiming a measurement. In other words, when he asked him for Kadei Shemen, he didn't say that you owe me jugs of oil, literally jugs with oil. He wasn't claiming from him jugs. He was just saying, look, you owe me oil. Now, when he said the words, when the Mishnah says the words jugs of oil, he meant to say as a measurement. In other words, 10 jugs full of oil is what you owe me. So essentially the case of our Mishnah is when he's claiming from him wheat, which in our case would be when he's claiming from him oil, and he admits, what do you mean? I don't owe you chitin, I don't owe you oil, I owe you actually jugs, which is barley. That's why the Rabbanan say that you're going to be potter, because everyone agrees when you're asking for apples and they're saying oranges, that's two totally different things, and that's not Meidah B'Miktzas. But if it was two things and admitting one, then of course you would be chayv. So on that, the Gemara asks, Ihachi, my time of the Admon. If that's the case of the Mishnah, that it's basically apples and oranges, where he's claiming a certain amount of oil and he's admitting to jugs, so that's where Rabban say Yipatah, so why would Admon say that you're chayiv? How could that be Meidah B'Miktzas? That's apples and oranges. That's wheat and barley. That's oil and jugs. So Elam Rabbi, rather Rabbi gives a different interpretation to resolve the opinion of Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel from the Rabbana in our Mishnah. He says, the Kuli Amma, everybody agrees regarding the cases that could be defined in the context of our Mishnah. Heichado Amale, where the claimant says to him, look, Meloi Asara Kadei Shemen Yeshli Bebarcha, 10 jugs full of oil I have in your pit. I mean, he's not talking about jugs at all, and it's obvious he's talking about a measurement. Because he's talking about 10 jugs full just as a measurement, because he's talking about in a pit. Now, he's talking about the pit that's in front of the olive press. So he's saying that regarding the 10 jugs full of olive oil that I have in your pit, definitely shemen ketoinle. He's definitely claiming from him oil, but kinkanim leketoinle. He's not claiming from him jugs at all. Therefore, in such a case, if the guy would admit to him jugs, everyone would agree that's not considered ma'idah b'miktzis. This toma, that would be apples and oranges. However, asara kadi shemen maleim yeshli etzlecha. And this is because Rav is giving the interpretation for Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. If let's say he claimed from him that there are 10 jugs that are full with oil that I have by you, which that sounds like he's claiming from him both jugs, kadei shemen, and also oil, where they're full with oil that I have by you, that there everyone would agree, according to Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, which Rav is trying to interpret from him, shemen v'kankanam ketoinle, that he's claiming from him oil and jugs, and therefore, that would be considered might be mixes according to Rav Nachman, who he says everyone would agree to that. When you claim chitin and sarin and he admits to sarin, you're chayiv. That's might be mixes. But ki pligi, what's the case of the machlokes in our Mishnah? That is, if you analyze the text of the way it was defined, the case in our Mishnah, it's talking about hechad amalei asare kadu shemen yeshli atzlacha. He tells him that there are 10 jugs of oil that I have by you. Now, in the case of the Mishnah, it doesn't say the word maloi. It doesn't say that they're full. Now, therefore, that's what the machlokes is. What does the words mean? So Admit says, he says, yesh beloshna zeh loshin kankanim. He says that the words here, in the words kadish emin, also infer that he's claiming for the jugs too, because he didn't say just maloi asar. He didn't say just that amount, which would sound like he's asking for a measurement. Rather, it's sounding like he's asking for 10 jugs that are filled literally with oil. So essentially, according to Admon, he's asking for the wheat and the barley, for the oil and the jugs. That's why Admon says that that's a case of Maidva Mixes. Because again, everyone agrees to Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel when you're asking for two things and you only admit to one, that's Maidva Mixes. But Rabbanan Savi, you want to know what's the understanding of the opinion Rabbanan? They hold Ein Boloshna Azel Loshna Kanam. They say that no. They don't see over here that it's asking for the jugs themselves. When you're asking for kadei shemen, you're asking for that measurement. Therefore, he's asking only for oil, and the guy's admitting to jugs. That's not moed mixes. That's two different things. That's the interpretation of the Mishnah according to Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. Now what the Gemara does actually now reverses the line of questioning. It actually asks on the opinion who the Amarok opinion that holds that when you toin chik misa'irin, and you only admit to one of them, that opinion says you're potter, you're exempt. But the inference of the Mishnah, actually, now the way Rava just explained it, is like Rav Nachman. Because the wording used in our Mishnah is, hatoynes chaver, if someone claims by his friend, kadei shemen, jugs of oil. It doesn't say, kadem meleim shemen. So the understanding of that is now, the reason why the Rabbanan say that you're exempt is because you didn't use a terminology that would infer that you're asking for jugs and oil. Sounds like you're only asking for oil. And how do we know that? Because he didn't use the word maleim shemen. If he used that, as Rabbi explained, everyone would agree it's asking for both, and then you would be chayivim according to Rabbanan. Now, hayesh b'loshna hazeh loshin kakanim, the inference is that had he used words that would sound like he's asking not just for oil, but for jugs too, so that means to say that you're claiming both, that chayiv, that then the Rabbanu would agree that you would be chayiv for the shuva of Maid B'miktzis. So limitav to yuvtzer b'chir b'rabba, that's for a few the other amar that argues in Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. Because the amar b'chir b'rabba, he says, tondachid m'sa'arin. Someone claims wheat and barley, v'hoidle ba'achimhem, and he admits only one of them. Pata, that's exempt because that's not admitting in the item itself, because the thing that you're asking of sa'arim, I totally agree to. There's no Maid B'miktzis. Regarding the chitim, that I totally deny. So although you're asking for it at the same time, that's not moed b'miktzis. It's only in the item itself that would be considered moed b'miktzis. But that seems to be refuted now the way we just defined the case of the Mishnah, where it's kadei shemen, and the Rabbanan is saying that you're exempt only because you didn't say kadei maleim shemen. Had you used that terminology, which sounds like asking for kadei maleim shemen, that you would be chayiv. So we see now like the opinion of Rechpechir Barabba. So that Rav Shimon Barashi says that no. Actually, you cannot compare in the case of our Mishnah of jugs and oil to wheat and barley. And the reason being is because Nasa, the case of jugs of oil are kamisha tonu riman bikli pasai. It's like when you're asking someone that you owe me pomegranates. Now, when you're asking the person you owe me pomegranates, if he says you owe me pomegranates and the peel, that's essentially one thing. And if he admits to part of it, no, I only owe you the peels, only the pomegranates. Well, that's the same thing. the left side, the right side. That is Mimin HaTayna. That's why you want to know in the case of our Mishnah, had it been a terminology that would sound like he's asking for the jugs and the oil, that Rabbanu would say that you're going to be chayiv, that's because it's different than chidin b'sa'irin. Because jugs of oil are just as one as a pomegranate in its peel, but which is not the case by barley and wheat, which are two totally different things, and therefore the Rabbanu would agree in that case that you would be potter. Now that maskevul Ravina. Ravina asks on this interpretation of Rishim Barashi. He says, what do you mean? Rimin b'lei kli pasay le minter. A pomegranate without its peel is not well preserved. Doesn't keep well without its peel. So you understand how it's one entity. Shemin minter b'lei kikanim. But oil could be protected without jugs if it's in the pit where it's pressed. So it's not like one unit that it's one item to say it's mimin hatayna. How can you say it's the same as a pomegranate in its peel? So Ella, rather, Ravina gives a different interpretation. He says, no. The case of our Mishnah of the jugs of oil is not like claiming a pomegranate. Rather, Hacha, that Reb Chiya would explain the case of our Mishnah, b'mayiskin, what are we talking about? The Amale that he tells him, the claimant is saying, Asara kadi shemen yeshli etzlacha. There are 10 jugs of oil that I have by you. Now, v'amale idach, now the one who is being who's defending himself responds, shemen lohay dvar mi'elim. It's not true. There's no such a thing. I never owed you oil. Now, kankanam nami, this is what the chiddush of Ravina is and how to interpret it for Reb Chiya. It says, and even regarding the jugs that you're claiming for me, 10 jugs of oil, which again, we're inferring that the Rabbanan would be Machayiv the person if it said a terminology that would sound like you're asking for jugs and oil, which would be not like the case of a Mishnah, which would be Kadim Maleim Shemen. That would sound like the way Rav interpreted from Nachum Mishmul, that the Rabbanan would agree that it would be Chayiv. Now, why would you be Chayiv if, according to Reb Chiya Bar Abba, that type of wording or that would not be considered Moedim Mixes? Reason being is because even in the jugs themselves, he says, Chamisha islach v'chamisha laslach. Five of them, I admit to you that I owe you. But some of them, I deny that I owe you. So it comes out that even in the jugs themselves, there's denial and admission. Now, if there is, as we said, a terminology of a claim regarding the jugs, so then, yes, the Rabbanu would agree that you'd be chayiv b'shvu because Admin says, yesh b'losh nazeh loshen kankanim. Now, if it was definitely asked regarding, like it was kadim aleim shemen, so that was, again, according to everybody, asking for both. But let's say the case of our Mishnah. That is like the Gemara said before, where Rava says that definitely the machlikas admin and the chacham is the words of kadim shemen that says in the case of a Mishnah asking for both or only one. So admin says, yesh b'losh nazeh losh kankanim, as Rava explained for Rav Nachman, that definitely it's asking for both jugs and for oil. So now, and the same thing would apply to the Rabbanan if you use the words kadim aleim shemen. But the reason why you'd be chayiv v'shvuah is not because for the denial of the oil and for the admission of the jugs. That's not true. That when you're asking for both and you admit to one, that you would be exempt. But here it's since umigidik mishta be'akan kanim, since he has to make a shvuah on the jugs, because even in the jugs itself, he did admit to, and therefore you might have mixed this in the jugs itself. So the reason why you have to make a shvua on everything is only because of the halacha concept of what's called gilgul shvua, which is once someone mandates that you have to take an oath for something that he's claiming, then they could go ahead and roll that and then make you make shvuas on other things which they didn't really have the right. But since they got their foot in the door and you have to make a shvua, they can make you make all these other oaths too. Now, but Rabbanan Zavi, they hold no aim b'losh nazeh losh kankanim. That everyone agrees that that's what they're arguing about. They say the words kadei shemen doesn't infer asking for jugs. He's only asking for oil. So therefore, even if in the jugs he says that I owe you five and not 10, but since he's only asking for oil, mashatanu loy haidalei. What he's claiming, which is oil, then loy haidalei is not admitting to him because he's only admitting to him jugs. And what he is admitting, which are the jugs, is not what the person claimed. That's why, according to Rabbanan, you're going to be exempt from the Shavuot, might have been mixes, even according to the interpretation of Chibur Abba, because although that there is an understanding that in the case of our Mishnah, according to Rabbanan and definitely according to Admin, seemingly you could be chayav a Shavuot on a might have been mixes when you're claiming two different things and admitting only one of them, that's only because even the one thing that you are admitting, you're partially denying and partially admitting. So once you're chayv shvua in that element, so then you'll be able to be chayv shvua on all of it based on the halachic principle of Gilgal Shvua. But again, of course, in the case of our Mishnah, where the Rabban say you're going to be exempt according to everybody, the reason is, both according to Rav Nachman or Shmuel and according to Chibur Abba, is because they hold that the wording doesn't sound like it's asking for both, it's only asking for oil, and the person that's admitting only jugs, and that according to everybody is apples and oranges, and if someone claims apples, and you admit oranges, that's not the halachic concept of Maidim and Mitzvahs.